Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's session. Just a second, I want to see that we are hearing you well. Yes, sorry, we just had a few issues. So let's start again. Welcome to all the wonderful and talented professional women who are joining us today from all around the Middle East and Africa. We are very excited to open the first event of the Middle East and Africa Female Tech Communities, hosted by Microsoft Reactor and the Development Relationship Team. My name is Moria, and I'm the Reactor Program Manager based in Tel Aviv. I'm thrilled to open today's event together with Adi and Amanda, who you will meet shortly. Before we start, I wanted to let you know that the session today will be recorded, and the recording will be available to you within a few days on the Reactor YouTube channel. I'm going to share the link with you in the chat box soon. We encourage you to ask questions during the session using the Q&A box on your screen. So please feel free to take the time and post your questions there, and we will answer those at the end of the presentation. Lastly, this is also a great opportunity for you to share your feedback with us. So we are going to share a link to the survey we conduct on our events. If you can dedicate a minute or two to complete the survey, that will be great. So for those of you who are new to the reactors are where technology professionals connect and learn. Reactor focus on empowering individuals to dive deeper into personal and professional technological interests. We provide programming for developers who want to advance in desirable high-tech fields such as data science, AI, machine learning. Virtual events are running around the clock anytime and anywhere. Our programming events, whether it is in person or online, are always free. You can find out information on our upcoming events on our meetup group. Now let's take a minute to get to know some of these wonderful communities who are joining us today.
Hello, everyone. So I'm Adi, and all of us are really excited seeing and having you all today here. Before we start to get to know a bit more about our communities, can you please share and write down in the chat window your name, your country, and your community name? While you're writing the community, your details, we would like to show you a video with some of the amazing community leaders, technical female communities that we have in the region.
Shalom, my name is Roten. I'm the community leader of Hypertesti Ochvela.
Hi everyone, my name is Ifechukwuoke and I am the community manager for She Code Africa Asaba, a subchapter of She Code Africa.
Hi, I'm Ila, the leader and community manager of Hamita Pistio.
Hi everyone, I'm Ming from Women in Tech Dubai.
Hi everyone, I'm Yasmin from Women in Tech Dubai.
Hi everyone, my name is Delisa Zinberg.
Hi, I'm Shira Weinberg.
And together we co-founded LeadWiz. LeadWiz is a non-profit organization who aims to promote women in tech.
Hello, I'm Shmuela Jacobs. I'm from Israel and I'm the founder of Venture Girls.
Hello, I'm Roni.
Hi, I'm Tiffy. And we are the founders of Monaco.
That's not what I'm from.
I'm Neto Bondi.
I'm Abital Sipori.
And I'm Karen Del Seven.
And we manage well.
Hi, everyone. My name is
Victor,
and I'm
the founder of the World Cloud. My name is Velda Kara, and I lead She Code Africa ABB, which is in Kenya.
Hi, my name is Etia Vital. I'm the founder of the Meralanov community in Israel.
Hi, everyone. My name is Ifechukwu Okoye. I am the community manager for Pi Ladies Asaba.
So that was pretty exciting. I don't know what about you, but we have people here from Jerusalem, from Tel Aviv, but based in New York. We have communities like Hamida Pistio, like There is one that I didn't knew before, Mama Nhetan Kru. We have Tiffany from Kenya. So amazing. So please keep it up. Write down your name, your communities, and we hope that in the next event we will be able to do some more networking and to make more connections. And if you're speaking about connections, so it's my pleasure to pass the ball to Amanda to teach us how to rock our profile, LinkedIn profile. So Amanda, over to you.
Thank you, ladies. Thank you so much for having me. So welcome everyone to our LinkedIn presentation for today. Just to introduce you to LinkedIn, LinkedIn has some powerful data, tools, and insights that can help you connect to opportunity. This starts with our professional community, where we have over 630 million members in over 200 countries and territories. So if you're looking to expand your network, LinkedIn is an amazing platform that can help you get started. During today's webinar, we're going to learn how we can connect to opportunity with LinkedIn by creating a rocking profile. We're going to learn how to grow our network, how to share our voice in LinkedIn, and also how to stay informed. So let's start off with your profile and your story. Your LinkedIn profile is a digital portfolio that represents you and tells your professional story. You're going to want to think of your LinkedIn profile less as a resume and more as a dynamic digital profile that's engaging, visual, and highlights your experience and skills to help you build your professional presence. Today, we're going to explore six different steps on how you can rock your LinkedIn profile. So let's kick off this section by giving you some best practice recommendations. The first and most important would be to add a great photo. You want to make sure that you select a LinkedIn profile photo that truly represents you. It doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to tell your professional community who you are. It can be a professional headshot, but doesn't necessarily have to be either. If you snap your own, just make sure that you have a high resolution photo. It has good lighting and it features just you. LinkedIn even also has photo filters that you can use to polish your photo as well. For members who have a profile picture on their LinkedIn profile, they will be more likely to get 9 times more connection requests and 21 times more profile views. The second step is to write a unique headline. So your profile headline is a great way to show your value and your passion in one quick line. Below your name, you will fill your current role or the field that you aspire to enter. So as you can see in some of these examples, they have their roles or they even highlight things that they are skilled in. If you're seeking employment, it's best to avoid eager phrases like looking for new opportunities. Instead, like these individuals here, highlight your key skills that you want recruiters to know and see. This is a good opportunity to include keywords that hiring managers and recruiters will be searching for as well. This is a great opportunity to show who you are and not just what you do. You're going to want to ask yourself, if this is the only thing someone sees, what does it represent about me? What does it convey? Now, the third step is to draft a compelling summary. This typically shows just at the start of your LinkedIn profile. And this is shown as typically like your elevator pitch. So it should include an introduction to you and also highlight your accomplishments and aspirations. Did you know that adding a summary of 40 words or more usually makes it likely to turn up in future employer search? You're going to want to keep it short and sweet. No need to list all of your career accomplishments, since that's what you have an experience section for. In this example, you can see that this individual has highlighted their key skills. So in the summary, it says, as a sales leader with over 25 years of experience, I'm passionate about connecting customers into solutions that help grow and scale their software businesses. My sales organization is focused on delivering excellence, delighting customers, and solving large software challenges at scale. Leadership is a privilege, and I feel fortunate to lead an organization where employees connect to their passion and purpose every day. I believe that culture and talent help bring us our mission to life. So that's just a great example of a summary that you could include in your profile. Now, the next thing is to detail your work experience. The experience section provides you with an opportunity to tell your professional story and talk about your accomplishments within each one of the roles that you have had. You can use a couple bullet points here and there, but the majority should read like a story, your professional story. If you worked at a startup or a smaller company that isn't as well known, give a brief introduction to the company before detailing your experience. For members who have up-to-date positions, they will receive up to 5 times more connection requests, 8 times more profile views, and 10 times more messages. Step 5 is an addition to adding to your work experience. You can help connect people to what you do by adding rich media. And rich media includes photos, videos, presentations, or anything else that visually enhances your profile and makes it more dynamic. When you add this type of media here onto your profile, you can do it by adding it to your education, to your work experience, or you can also just have highlighted media somewhere on your profile. When you do include media to your profile, this doesn't necessarily have to be content of your own. If your company has a brand video or other assets that are not confidential, you can use them on your profile, and I recommend ones that really involve you or highlight you as well. Now, the next step is to add skills and get endorsed. Skills are a quick way to showcase what you're good at. So adding 5 or more skills can get you up to 17 times more profile views. You're also in control of what order your skills are displayed in and who endorses you for what. In your profile, you can highlight your top 3 skills, and this will show in your profile. When you click Show More, you'll be able to see up to 50 skills that you have highlighted onto your profile, and your network can endorse you for those skills as well. Skills can also be searched across LinkedIn, so it's another great way to expand your network. You want to make sure that the skills you are highlighting reflects the skills needed for your next role. And also highlight the skills that you are very, very proficient in. This is where you really want to highlight things that you are very comfortable with, very proficient, and maybe even also what you enjoy doing as well. Now that we've talked about our profile basics, let's go into some awesome extras for your profile. One thing that you can do to add to your profile is to request for recommendations. So recommendations are a great way to build your professional credibility. And here are a couple things that you may want to keep in mind. You want to let the person know what you want to be recommended for specifically, whether it be a project, leading an initiative, or maybe they are your colleague who you have worked with for several years and they can give you a general recommendation. You're going to want to choose people who you've worked with closely and who can provide specific examples of your skills and strengths. I would typically say to take this a step forward as well and to reciprocate the favor as well. So what I do as a best practice is that if I'm asking an individual for a recommendation, I typically like to return the favor and also give that individual a recommendation as well. You can also join groups related to your industry and interests to grow your network and also to stay up to date on trends and news. One good place to start is with schools or universities that you have attended. You can also search to see if your current employer or also maybe past employer has their own LinkedIn group as well. Another thing is to add volunteering experience. This is a great way to round out your professional identity. Half of all hiring managers say that they view volunteer experience as equivalent to formal work experience. So if you are currently unemployed or you're just in between roles at the moment and you're finding a hard time filling out your profile with work experience, maybe it's a good idea to consider volunteering as well. From here, you can learn new skills, connect with other organizations, and also grow your network as well. Members who add volunteer experience in causes that they have worked on get up to 6 times more profile views than those without. You can also promote to your public profile and allow others to easily identify you in search results by customizing your profile URL using a variation of your name or your professional brand. When you customize your URL, this makes it easier to share your profile link on a business card, a resume, or maybe other social media sites that you're currently on. Over here, this is just a little bit more of a detailed explanation as to what it means to customize your URL. So if someone wanted to find your profile, this individual here has included their full name, so Tracy Westbay. And if you have a pretty common name, you may again want to maybe change the order, so maybe have it Westbay Tracy, or again, use your professional brand to your advantage as well. Some other things to add to your profile would be to add or update your location to discover opportunities and connections in your area. Education is also important to include as well, and you can choose where in your profile it gets displayed. If you have any publications that you have authored, add the section to your profile to feature all of your great work. And if you've received any industry honors or if you've won an award, these types of things are great to feature in your accomplishments section in your profile as well. If you speak more than one language, this is also very important to include as well. A lot of employers do look for people who can speak a second language. So this is another great skill that you can add to your profile. So now let's jump into how you can grow your network. Your network consists of strong connections, and the people you know well interact with often, as well as weak connections, acquaintances, or people you may not know personally but have a shared background, interest, or mutual connection in common with. On LinkedIn, first degree connections are people you are already connected with in your network. Secondary connections are people who you share a connection with. And third degree connections are connected to your second degree connections. Weak connections are also very important as well. So if you do have third or second degree connections, feel free to also reach out to them and see if you can connect with them and maybe learn from them as well. There are several ways to connect with people that you know. You can invite your existing contacts by syncing your contacts in your My Network tab. You can use LinkedIn suggestions for people you may know from either working together or attending the same schools. When you reach out, it's best to send a personal note to increase the likelihood of the person accepting your request. You can include things like how you met, how you know them, and why you want to connect. So from here, this is just how you can see how you can include a personal message when you are sending out an invitation to someone. Again, this is a really great best practice as well, especially if you do not know the person directly. Maybe you did not go to school with them or worked with them, but you met them at a virtual conference or you have mutual connections with. It's great if you could include that personal message just to let that individual know why you want to connect with them. Here are some things to keep in mind when accepting invitations to maintain the quality of your network. A lot of the times when I run these types of webinars, our participants ask us, if someone sends us a connection request, should I accept it? And this depends on your intentions on LinkedIn. If you are using LinkedIn solely to find a job, then I would say use discretion when accepting invitations from people you don't know well or even at all. If you're using LinkedIn as a platform where you can build your network and build your connections, then I feel like you can still use discretion when accepting these invitations, but you may not need to be as, I guess, careful. However, there are also some ways where you can manage your privacy settings to choose who can contact you and what appears on your public profile. Your public profile is a simplified version that can be found when people who aren't members search you on a public search engine like Google or Bing. For myself, I typically use LinkedIn for both purposes. However, I find that I like to use LinkedIn to grow my network and use it more as a professional platform to let people know that Microsoft stores offers free events, for example. So for my intentions, I would like my posts and status updates and publications to reach a larger network. So I would typically accept more invitations. However, if there are no mutual connections, they're in another country, and they didn't send me a personal note, then I am likely to not accept that invitation. So from here, this is how you will be able to edit your visibility. You can always go into your Me section of LinkedIn, and then you can access your settings and choose what you want to be visible on public visibility. LinkedIn is a place where you can also share your insights, expertise, and opinions with your professional community. There are two great ways where you can share your professional perspective on LinkedIn. The first way is to share your perspective through quick status updates. The second is to explore a topic in more detail by publishing a post. So what's the difference? Sharing updates is a way to quickly share your knowledge, perspective, and insight on what you care about. Publishing content is a way to explore a topic by writing a long-form post. To share a status update, you can go onto your homepage and you'll see a share box at the top when you sign into LinkedIn. Then from here, you can add hashtags, you can tag people who may find this status update important. But we also have a few other best practices that you can use when sharing updates. The first best practice that I would like to share is to share your authentic voice. Be authentic and stay on brand. People follow you for a reason and would really value your authentic perspective. The second is to post frequently. And this is also subjective as well, depending on how often you log into LinkedIn and what you use it for. If you are looking to use this as a public platform to grow your network and reach a larger audience, then I would say it's great if you could try to post at least once every 2 weeks. And what you could do is that you could also consider adding a reminder to your calendar to post something. Or you can also use other solutions like Hootsuite, for example, to have those automated posts for you. Also, start a conversation or share your point of view. So post something quick and snappy that engages your professional community. Pose a question, provide your perspective, or give an insider point of view. The fourth is very important: include rich media to increase engagement. Include photos and videos to help your post stand out. Posts like these will get more comments and likes. So don't forget to add that rich media there. And then the last would be to think about reciprocity. So think of things that can that you can share that will benefit your professional community, or pose a question to your community as well. Now that we've covered some best practices around sharing updates, let's talk about publishing longer form posts on LinkedIn. This is a great way to establish thought leadership within a community of professionals. When you publish content on LinkedIn, it becomes part of your profile. It gets shared with your network, and it reaches a large group of professionals, over 630 million to be exact. So once you've published content, people can follow you and stay on top of what you say and post on LinkedIn. So how does publishing work? Like sharing a status update, you can get started on your homepage, and you can select write an article to get started. So let's talk through some quick tips on how you can bring your expertise front and center and make your voice heard on LinkedIn. The first is to create a headline that stands out. Ask yourself if you would click on it on your busy day as well. Also include a photo, so articles with cover photos get more views and comments than those without. Again, be authentic and use your voice. Make sure you show up as your authentic self. You will also want to think about your audience as well. So tailor your content to give back to your professional community. And then lastly, article length matters. You can write a long form post, but make sure it's not too long. A sweet spot for article length is about 600 to 1000 words. Now, the last thing that we want to do is to learn how we can gain knowledge and insights. LinkedIn helps you stay up to date with the news content, companies, and professionals that matter most to you. So let's talk about how you can follow companies that matter most to you. Following a company helps you stay on top of the news, trends, and also new product launches for that company. You can follow a company's page by searching for it under companies in the search box. You can also follow influencers as well. In addition to following companies, you can gain additional insights by following LinkedIn influencers. When you follow an influencer, you can see their activity across LinkedIn in your feed. You can also follow industry influencers to stay on top of key trends, topics, and insights from the people you respect and admire. LinkedIn has advanced search filters as well to help you find what matters most quickly. Searching for jobs, company, or people, you can turn on filters to get most relevant search results as well. Another thing that I would like to include is that if you have your LinkedIn profile and you have that all-star status, one thing that I would also recommend is for you to add a banner photo. So I'm just going to go back one moment and I want to show you what that actually looks like. And do pardon me for one moment. I'm just going to show you. And I do apologize, please bear with me one moment. So in the screenshot here, you can see that Tracy Westbay has also included a banner photo in her profile. Typically, I would say this is also a really great addition to your profile as well, because it's usually what appears in your contact card when people click onto My Network to explore some possible connections that they may want to connect with. When you have a banner image, typically I would say it's a best practice to have a banner photo that reflects you, the industry that you're a part of, or what you're passionate about as well. So that's another great add-on. With that, we've pretty much concluded the presentation for LinkedIn. So I would be happy to bring it back to you, Maria, and see the next part of the presentation.
Thank you, Amanda. Excellent. So for those of you who joined late, Amadi Stein, a developer relations program manager at Microsoft, and I'm here with Moriah Dror, Microsoft Reactor PM, to tell you a little bit more and for those of you who don't know, to get to know the Microsoft Skilling Initiative. So let's start. But to understand Microsoft's commitment to this initiative, it's important to know that Microsoft's mission is to empower every person and every organization on the planet to achieve more. As part of this mission, Microsoft have long been committed to closing the skills and opportunity gap, helping everyone, especially those unreached or displaced by technology, get the skills, knowledge, and opportunity to succeed in the digital economy.
COVID-19 has dramatically increased the unemployment numbers. According to Microsoft calculations, global unemployment in 2020 may reach 250 million people. As is often the case, the biggest brunt of this downturn is being carried by those with lower educational attainment, people with disabilities, people of color, women, younger workers, and individuals who have less formal education. COVID-19 has a greater impact on women unemployment rates than men. We must do more faster. Microsoft LinkedIn and GitHub have committed to a cross-company approach to help 25 billion job seekers in 2020 to gain new skills for a more digital post-pandemic economy.
Let's dive into a bit more detail about Microsoft's commitment. Microsoft's focus is on three areas. The first one is the use of data to identify in-demand jobs and the skills needed to fill them. Several years ago, LinkedIn created the world's first economy graph to track workforce trends and provide a window into emerging skills gaps. The economy graph is a digital representation of the global economy based on more than 690 million professionals, 50 million companies, and 11 million job listings. In short, it is all of the data that exists on LinkedIn and show available jobs, the requested skills, and existing skill job seekers have. Using this data helped Microsoft to define 10 in-demand jobs globally that are relevant in today's economy. For those 10 jobs, Microsoft providing free access to learning paths and content to help people develop the skills this position require. And then Microsoft provides low-cost certification and free job seeking tools to help people develop these skills pursue new jobs. The 10 roles that were identified in high demand are also a great number of job opening right now, a strong growth rate, and can be successfully reskilled for online. For each of these 10 roles, job seekers have access to rich content from LinkedIn Learning Library, all taught by industry expert instructors, allowing the job seekers to move through the content with ease and demonstrate their learning with a certificate of completion. All of these courses, normally accessible only through paid membership, are now available for free till March 31st, 2021. In addition to this LinkedIn Learning Path, Microsoft Learn provides in-depth technical learning path, like software developer, IT administrator, and data analyst. Job seekers pursuing a developer role can also access the GitHub Learning Lab to practice their skills. So I've mentioned Microsoft Learn. Microsoft Learn is a free, interactive, hands-on training platform that helps people develop in-demand technical skills related to widely used Microsoft products and services. This platform offers more than 225 learning paths, including over 1,000 modules. You're probably asking yourself, how do you reach those resources? You can search Microsoft Learn on your browser and then select the required role. After selecting the roles, you can choose from a wide selection of free learning paths and modules. In this example, I've logged in into my LinkedIn Learning account and looked for data analyst courses. By completing the course either on Microsoft or LinkedIn, you will get badges and certificates that you can add to your LinkedIn profile. And by adding those skills and badges, it will help job recruiters to find you. You can highlight your resume, and it will increase your professional branding. We covered many ways and resources to learn new technologies and skills. Moria, do you have any idea how can we effectively sit down and actually learn it?
Yeah, well, yes, of course. So the best effective way to do so is through a competition. And this is why we initiated the Middle East and Africa Female Communities Cloud Challenge competition. During this challenge, participants learn as much content as they can over the duration of the challenge that exists in Microsoft Learn. And it measured in the experience point gain. It means that everyone competes as an individual. The winner is the participants who completed the most learned content during the challenge period. It's really simple. You need to log in, learn, and then you track your points and status on the leaderboard. First challenge will be launching on January, and we are going to share more details very soon. So we mentioned at the beginning the upcoming events at the Reactor. We have some events. We have events happening every day. You can scan the QR code to visit our meetup page and view all the upcoming events and details. I'm going to leave it for a second. So if you wish to scan the code, you can do so now. And then next, we are going to move to the Q&A part. So if you have any questions, please feel free to post them now in the comments box. And we are going to take some time and answer your questions. Amanda is still with us as well. If you have any questions about the LinkedIn presentation or any questions about the Microsoft Skilling Initiative, please feel free to share it now.
So we do have one question. We have a lot of, but the first that we will present is, how do you select the best tags for your posts?
So that's a really good question. We do usually get quite a few questions related to hashtags. You want to make sure that it is related to the content that you're posting on LinkedIn. But you can also follow hashtags on LinkedIn as well. So if you do a lot of work in marketing, for example, you may want to follow that marketing hashtag and see what other hashtags people are using to increase the likelihood of people seeing those posts as well.
Thanks. And the next question is, we got a private message and the question was, what is the best asset to use for social posts, whether it should be an image or a video? And Ila Bakshi from the Metapistio wrote that she preferred to use images. But Amanda, can you share what are the best practices?
Yeah, for sure. So typically, I would say the most accessible would be images rather than a video. But if you do have a video to highlight, again, if you have like a branding video that your organization has released to the public, then that's also something really great, especially if it is a startup, for example. That just gives people a better idea of what that organization does, what their mission is. If you're sharing a status update, then a lot of the times people also share videos on YouTube, for example, that they thought was interesting. And then from there, they would provide their perspective. So I wouldn't say that there is a wrong answer for either one. It just depends on what type of content you're really trying to use to share to your network. So again, just thinking about the intentions of your posts.
Thank you. Feel free to ask us any question that you want about LinkedIn or about the Skilling Initiative. We'll be really happy to answer that. I can see a question about using hashtags, and I'm also wondering, what is the best practices about using hashtags? Do you recommend adding a lot of hashtags, or just 3 or 2?
Yeah, that's also a good question. So when I create posts on LinkedIn, you don't want to overflow your post with a lot of hashtags. But again, it just depends on the type of content that you're sharing out. Typically, I would say a sweet spot is no more than 10 hashtags for your posts. But if it's relating to the post and there are a lot of hashtags that you think are related to what you want to share, then add it in. It's pretty free form. Luckily, LinkedIn is very open. I think it's a really great platform where you don't get a lot of judgment. So if you have more channels that you can share out to your content across, then I think a lot of people would actually appreciate that. I hope I answered that correctly.
Thanks.
Hey, Amanda, another question that came in here. If you have diversified interests or even different jobs, will you include both or just one on your LinkedIn title?
I love this question. This is such a good question because I know quite a few people who have their own like coaching business on the side, for example, and they're professionals within a certain industry as well. So I think it's great if you have a lot of skills and passions that you can share across LinkedIn, then I think it's great for you to showcase everything, right? But this also depends on your intention. So if you're really looking to have more of like a private profile, then again, use discretion on what you want to share on your profile because it is a public platform. But if you, again, have those diversified interests or you have different jobs, I know a colleague of ours who runs his own podcast. He works for Microsoft and he also has his own nonprofit organization. So in order for him to expand his network, he highlights all of those things on all of his platforms. Great question.
Awesome. And another one here. Can you explain again how to get to the Microsoft Learning courses?
For sure. Let me just see if I can pull this up really quickly. Do bear with me one moment. I'm just logging into LinkedIn so I can show you in a live demo on how you can do this. So it looks like it will not let me log in. So give me one moment. I do apologize. I'm just going to use my public profile here just to show you. Perfect. So I'm on my LinkedIn. For you to access LinkedIn Learning, do keep in mind that LinkedIn Learning is a premium feature, so you will need to have a premium account within LinkedIn. But when you go into work, you can access LinkedIn Learning just right over here within this open pop-out menu. And when I select this, don't know why that's happening. When you select that, it will open up the LinkedIn Learning website. And then from there, you can explore a lot of different courses that you can take a look at as well. So if you wanted to brush up on your skills on even writing a resume, for example, or interviewing skills, or learning new programs, for example, that will allow you to go onto LinkedIn, get some credentials or certificates on LinkedIn Learning. And then from there, you will be able to add that to your profile. So I was able to just log in, and then from here you can see a lot of the different types of topics that you can explore. And once you complete these courses, again, you can add them to your profile, and these skills can also get added to your profile as well if you would like to.
I'm sharing right now how to access to Microsoft Learn. So you just go to your browser, write down Microsoft Learn. You choose the browse all learning options or go to the main site. And then over here, you have roles. You can choose whatever roles that you want to. Let's pick data scientist. And then there are several different kind of learning paths that are combined from a lot of smaller modules. So you can choose whether you would like to start with a module or go for the whole learning path. Usually learning path will take much more time. Let's take one, for example. Let's see. Foundation of data science. And then we have a few modules over here. Each one of them compounds of different kind of topics. And you can complete a few of them. You can complete all of them. Each one of the modules has some experience points. And it's like gamification. And once we will do the challenge, so you can earn a lot of points and then win some prizes or certificates and badges to your LinkedIn as well. And the knowledge, of course.
Okay, if we don't have any further questions, I think we can end the session for now. As we mentioned, the session is recorded and it will be available on the YouTube channel of The Reactor. So we want to tell you again, thank you for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed this session. Thank you, Amanda. Thank you, Kyle. And thank you, Adi, for hosting this event together. Yes, we hope to see you next time on our next event.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much for all of you that joined. We hope to see you in our next event as well.